supposed to be Believers Authority Part 6, but this is part of it. So as I just started preparing this week, the Lord started speaking to my heart about zeal. About zeal in a believer's life. As we get through this, I can tell you there's one thing that I feel like God is doing in His church today in this hour is being zealous for Him, zealous for Christ, zealous for purpose, zealous for the truth. We see a lot of zeal and anger. I'm going to start out this thing talking about anger because one thing as I started vetting this out is realizing in my own struggle with not being super angry with some other people on the other side of the political arena, those that are anti-Christ, becoming really angry, maybe beyond what was healthy. And if anybody here has come out of anger, if the Lord has brought you out of life of anger, you know what that's like. You know how destructive anger can be. But we're going to talk about how, on the contrary, what anger, as far as righteous anger, can do as well. But yet, once again, if many of you who are born again, God's Spirit working in your life, or maybe God's doing it right now where you have that bubbling just anger all the time, motivated by anger. I see people where anger made them, kept them working 16 hours a day. Anger kept them just in a certain way of thinking and life. And if we're not careful in the body of Christ, that can creep in. That can creep in and actually bring deception. And we don't want to walk in deception in this day and this hour. Amen? I don't know about you. I'm not going back to what God brought me out of. I'm not going back into that type of anger. It can get a lot of things done. But it also is not according to the peace, the will, the purposes, the love of Jesus Christ. I wanted to mention first, so talking a little bit about the tongue. The tongue can easily be controlled by our emotions. And here's the thing, emotions can lead or they can control. God gave us emotions, amen? He gave us emotions. Emotions are powerful. They're a powerful force to lead, actually. But they can also be a powerful force to control our lives. And we don't want to be controlled by our emotions, amen? Ephesians 4, 26 and 27, Bill, if you have that. Be angry, it says right here, be angry, yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. And do not give the devil an opportunity. And do not give the devil an opportunity. You know, Greek, when I talk about it, says be ye angry, yet do not sin. So I started, looking at sin. We know that sin means to, the word harmateno, miss the mark, to err, to trespass. We know God's forgiven us of our sins. Amen. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, amen. Has He washed your sins away? Indeed, He has. But there's also an anger, it says, and yet do not sin, because there's also an additional meaning for anger. It also comes from the root word morose. It means to side with, to walk in its course, to craft your portion, a respect for. So it also talks about that sin, that sin or being angry that can actually control. Be ye angry, but not sin. Don't let it have a control of your life. Don't let it direct your life. Don't let it haze your mind and your soul realm in a wrong way. Anger, if not checked or allowed to take root, becomes resentment. It leads to emotional blindness and a foothold for the devil. You ever heard known people that fly off the handle at the littlest things? Yeah, we've all have. Where emotions control their life. Everything they think, everything they do, everything they process can come through an emotion, can come through anger, whatever, leading and guiding their lives. If there's one thing I learned as I began to learn about His faith and learn at this church was, is I'm not led by my emotions. The righteous, the just shall live by faith. And as I started trusting Him and His love for me and His purpose for me, I said, no emotions, you're not going to control what I do or don't do. It's going to be based upon the truth of the Word of God. Now, I'm going somewhere here with zeal. I'm just laying a foundation. Anger, if not checked or allowed to take root, becomes resentment. James 1, 19 and 20. James 19. This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For a man's anger does not bring about the righteousness of God, the purpose of God. This laying unchecked anger. Yes, there's an anger we'll talk about that's good. But allow just to consist and remain will take root and get us cloudy and off base. Once again, I'm going back, if you've ever had anger control your life or live a life of anger, you know that to be the case when Jesus started to bring you out of that. When you started to see him in his clarity, his goodness, his love, you started realizing God was not a God of anger and wrath on us, but a God of love and purpose. Amen? Amen. We thank you for that, Lord. Slow to speak, for man's anger does not bring about the righteousness of God. You know, sometimes you ever been there where you have displays of anger or fits of anger, and you later on you say, why did I do that? Why did I say that? Anybody, am I the only one here? Anybody? It's just an example sometimes if we're not careful. Anger. And I mention that because the things that I see in here, what's going on, where I see another side, whether it be BLM, Antifa, the leftists, walking in anger, and my first thing is, I can match that anger. Believe me, I can match it. See me match it. And we've got to be careful the difference between just walking in anger but walking in the zeal of God. We're going to talk about the zeal of God. But one thing, we don't walk just in vented anger where it's not in check at all. Never to able to hear about the goodness of God for those ideals that we oppose. We have to remember that God's, as I said it before, God came to seek and save that which was lost. And I understand that there's going to be those that are not going to come to Christ, that are anti-Christ, that I've got to stand up against, amen? Because I'm an American citizen. I have rights. I go back to Paul when they stretched him to whip him, and he said, can you do this to a Roman citizen? And they backed up. Remember, I'd mentioned that some weeks ago. So he knew his rights, amen? Or how they wanted to take him to Jerusalem and kill him. And he says, you're not taking me to Jerusalem. I have rights. If I let you take me to Jerusalem, I'll be dead before sundown. So he knew his rights, amen, as a Roman citizen. So we have rights as we're standing up for our rights. But do it in the right heart and attitude, amen. We are still the church of Jesus Christ. We are still his hands and feet upon this earth. We are still the only way people are going to hear about his love and his goodness. Amen? Amen. Why did I do that? Why did I say that? Results of unchecked anger. Others walk in fear around us or around that person, like walking on eggshells. Unchecked anger, where anger takes root, where others are afraid of the response that an individual walks in anger. What's the response they're going to get? Irrational decisions based upon emotion and anger. Many of us, just through life, just growing up into maturity, have experienced that, making emotional decisions. It's hard to receive from the Lord because always on the offense, anger is always on the offense, always on the offense. Walls go up, we're shooting. People who walk in anger, it's hard to receive because the walls are up. You can't receive anything when you're always on the offense, never able to receive. Becomes a coping mechanism. It's a way of saying, I'm in charge. And then obviously saying things that do harm and not good. Amen. As Paul said, let your speech be seasoned with grace. Let's still, even as we're battling here, as we get seasoned with grace, with his love. As we see people that are walking in fear and confusion, hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ, coming to the Lord, still coming to Jesus. He's still bringing people to him. Amen. His goal is still to bring people to him. Amen. But I want to tell you, this doesn't mean that we're a doormat either. We're not a doormat. 2 Timothy 4:14 through 15 says, this is Paul, Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm, and the Lord will repay him according to his deeds. That's our apostle Paul, the apostle of grace, saying that. There's going to be people that are going to be paid back for how they've treated and the things they've said against God, against the truth of this gospel. In Romans 1, it talks about those who oppress the truth, given over to a reprobate mind. We're dealing with a certain segment in our country, I hate to say it, that's a reprobate mind. And their only goal is to tear down everything that is truth for this nation that was founded upon Judeo-Christian principles. We're not to hide from that. We're not to say we got to be quiet. We're not to say, well, Paul said to be quiet and lead a tranquil life. He wasn't talking about that. He was talking about not getting in trouble, breaking the law. You're coming into grace and then thinking you can just break it, every law in the land, do what you want. If you go out and do 110 miles an hour here along Highway 89, you will justifiably get a ticket. They might even throw you in jail. Hopefully, maybe, yeah. Thank God nobody here has ever did 110 on a pavement, right? Only in a place where you feel like you can get away with it. Alexander, on that verse 15 again, be on guard against him too, for he vigorously opposed our teaching. The Apostle Paul saying, the Lord will repay him according to his deeds. There is a day for those who know Christ Jesus, who've given their lives. He's the only way to heaven. If you're here today, he loves you. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but through me. He is our only way to eternal life. God said, I made him to be wisdom itself. Jesus was at the right hand of the Father when he created this world by his words. Amen? Jesus by your side. Tell you today that he loves you. He's pleading, if you can see Jesus, he's pleading that you'd come into everlasting life, that you would know of his love, that you would know of his grace and his mercy. Amen? But for this Alexander, Paul said, the Lord will repay him for the harm that he did me. He opposed my gospel. Not just opposed it, but he tried to do me much harm. Interesting, the things that you'll read about. Paul said that God, the apostle of grace, but yet some of the truths that he declared. One being here today, he says, he's going to pay for what he did to me. Amen. Romans 12:19 says, never take your own revenge. Romans 12:19, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. He leave vengeance. The Lord is going to be there. He is the final judge. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Amen. I'm so thankful when I see him. I can't wait to see his face someday. I don't know when that'll be, but I can't wait to see his face with his love and mercy that's been shown in my heart. I have no fear of seeing him. Just expectation. Just longing to spend eternity with him. Walking day to day on this earth, knowing that he is here with me. He is for me and not against me. That he's leading and guiding me. That when I struggle, he said, come on, let's get going, Chad, come on. He's teaching me, no, that's the voice of the Satan that's beating you down. Don't listen to that voice. How I love you. Are you learning his voice in this day and age? Amen. How he loves us. He knows those who belong to him. I belong to him. How about you? And nobody can take me out of his hand. Nobody can take me out of his hand. Amen. He gives you confidence. Gives you strength day to day when you're out there in the marketplace or in the world or the things that you face or you come across or the crazy ideals that people think or say and just absolute think those are truth, things that are just contrary to basic common knowledge anymore. Helps to give you strength and peace when you're dealing with those types of things from day to day. Amen. God will judge the ungodly, some now on earth, or at the judgment seat. This is after Jesus Christ had risen from the dead in the book of Acts 12:21-24. Acts 12:21-24. And on an appointed day, Herod, who was the head he was a king in Rome, a leader in Rome over the Jewish people in that whole province area. It says, on an appointed day, after putting on his royal apparel, took his seat on the rostrum, and began, that's the judgment seat, and began delivering an address to them. The people kept crying out, the voice of a God and not of a man. And immediately an angel of the Lord struck him because he did not give glory to give God the glory. And he was eaten by worms and died. New Testament. But the word, but this is what it said. But the word of the Lord continued to grow and to be multiplied. God continued. As we're standing up for truth, just let know God knows how to take care of things that we're facing right now. God knows how to take care of things that we're facing right now. He could remove those that are in the way. That's his decision. I declare the truth. I declare his love. But God can remove things out of the way that stand in the way of truth, because he removed that individual right there, and it said, and the word of God multiplied at peace. Amen. God is still making a way in this nation. God is still putting things in place. God is still doing things. We don't see them. We don't know how it's going to pop up, but I'm still hopeful. I'm still prayerful. I'm still not listening to the lies of the news anymore. Gave that up a long time ago. I'm not going to be reprogrammed anymore. Amen. I said, I'm not going to be reprogrammed anymore. If there's anything that's happening this day, in this hour of the Church of Jesus Christ, is we're putting away some of this nonsense, the programming that we've had from the left and from those that are contrary to God in this nation, whether it be Hollywood, whether it be the universities or schools, certain churches. God is doing something new, and it's called zeal. He's bringing zeal into his body. He's bringing zeal into his body. I'm not going to match the anger of those that oppose God anymore, but I can have God's zeal and truth. There's a difference between walking in anger and walking in God's zeal. The zeal will allow me to declare the truth. Zeal will allow me to see things as God sees them. God, that allows me still to see his word and his purpose. If I just go the way of anger, I won't see those things. The Lord said again, said, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. Some here on the earth, as we saw in Herod, some at the judgment who oppose God. We know that. But now for us, just walking in his zeal. We need this. But the word of the Lord continued to grow and to be multiplied. We need zeal to come forth from the pulpits, from the schoolyards, universities, professional sports. This be quiet is taking scripture out of context. For too long, we've had this thing, just be quiet. The be quiet is the reason why we don't have prayer in schools, when the majority of Americans were Christians and believed in prayer. But somehow the few took prayer out of school. I still believe in prayer, amen? He's still the truth, amen? If it's in your heart that you think, well, they shouldn't have prayer in school, or I don't know about that, you've been indoctrinated. I hate to say that, but you're part of that indoctrination. Come out of that. We had prayer. This country was founded on Christian principles. I know there's things that we had here that we did that weren't good. I know slavery and different things. I realize those are wrong. We had many Americans give their life, give their blood to stop slavery in this nation. Do you agree with me? Comes a point, Lord, where we forgive one another. I don't care if your background, your color, where you've been. God's love and his mercy forgives you, cleanses you, makes you brand new. Purpose in your life coming forth, amen. This thing that we've seen right now with Marxism, trying to separate us by race, that is totally of the devil in Jesus' name. That needs to be spoken out, amen. In pulpits, everywhere, that this is a lie of the enemy. This is not truth. This will destroy this nation if it's left unchecked. But the truth of Jesus Christ, he forgives all of sin. That he asks us to forgive others and things that have happened to us. And to look at our hearts honestly and say, Lord, what do I need to do to change? That's what Jesus Christ does to an individual. To where people of different colors, creeds, barbarians even. Any barbarians in here? Even us barbarians. God bringing us together as one people. I was watching a video of some people somewhere worshiping a song they were worshiping, but there was every color there, every different, and they were just worshiping together, loving one another. That's the way it's supposed to be. Anything opposite of that is demonic. Anything opposite that that brings division or unforgiveness or pointing fingers at one another, that is of Satan. It'll divide a church. It'll divide a state. It'll divide a nation. The Spirit of God, as it changes people, bringing people together. I don't know your background. Can't walk in your shoes. Never could. Couldn't understand some of the shoes that some of you have walked in. Just like some of you wouldn't understand my background of the shoes that I walked in. But I love you in Jesus Christ. I don't have to understand those things, because through Jesus Christ, being brothers and sisters, one body, amen, growing together, forgetting those things which are behind me, I'm pressing on, amen, forgetting those things behind me, pressing on. Thank you, no color in heaven. No color in heaven. One body. Not separated in Jews and Gentiles. One body. One body in Christ, in Jesus' name. Do you love him this morning? So speaking with zeal and passion are needed at this time in America. Isaiah 12:6 says, rejoice and shout for joy, you inhabitants of Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. You and I are modern Zion, the Church of Jesus Christ. Shout for joy to have zeal in the house. The Spirit of God. You know, having zeal and standing up for the truth really is a choice. We'll see others do it, and maybe we'll see that it'll help us to catch on fire. Zeal is very powerful. Somebody standing up for truth is very powerful. Somebody standing up for Christ, people standing up for the foundation of this nation, is very powerful. And thank God we're starting to see that more and more. Amen. Romans 12:9-10. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Not lagging behind in diligent, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. You know, when you have the Creator living in you, you really, when you understand His love for you, you can't help but be fervent. We're not fervent in the same way. Not all of us are wired the same way. Amen? So don't just think of fervency of coming up here and just, Excite, that can be a form of excitement, right? The fervency of what God's placed in you, the gifts and calling God has placed in you, and a fervency by His Spirit, a purpose. When His Holy Spirit lives inside you and brings your dead spirit of life, and now you have the capability to die to the flesh, saying, the flesh is not controlling me anymore. My emotions are not controlling me anymore. The things that God will open up to us as we mature in Him. The things that God will open up in our lives as we mature in Him. He'll open the doors. He'll give those desires. He'll bring those changes. The desires you have right now as you grow in the Lord, all of a sudden they can change. All of a sudden the desires of your heart change. Or a desire that's been in your heart for many years or even decades, all of a sudden will come up top. All of a sudden, the Lord will say, it's time. He'll bring those things about. It comes through His zeal, His fervency in our heart. That is the only way those things come forth. Amen. God still stirs up others, by the way. God's zeal stirs up others. 2 Corinthians 9:2. This is the Corinthians. He says, for I know your readiness, of which I boast about you to the Macedonians, namely that Achaia has been prepared since last year, and your zeal has stirred up most of them. Well, they were giving to the needs of the Jerusalem church. And they said, they're the ones that came up with the idea and said, hey, we want to take up an offering for those in need in Jerusalem. And Paul's saying, hey, that zeal that you had, that spread through the whole area. 5 or 6 different churches that I started, your zeal for wanting to give, it spread like fire. And then he says, hey, that zeal started. He says, now completed. He says, that thing that you started, I've collected all the funds from the other churches, but I haven't collected from you yet. He says, you got this thing started with your zeal. Now let's finish it. The zeal of God, God's working in your life, God's excitement in your life, it catches like fire to others. In a time where we see so much fear, in a time where we see so much anger, in a time where we see so much confusion, your joy and strength in the Lord is contagious. It is absolutely contagious for those you work with, for those you go to church with, for those you live with, for those that you're in your neighborhood. God's zeal is what we need today in America. Amen. Amen. Titus 2:14. Who gave himself for us, that was Jesus Christ, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people. Aren't you glad you're special? When people said, you're special, you say, darn right I am, right? His own special people, those born again, his body, that's the special people. Zealous for good works. Zealous for what he's put in you. Zealous for what he's calling you to do. Zeal is so important. You know who's against zeal? Satan. He loves the news to just be on the zeal of what's contrary to truth. Satan is a liar and the father of all lies. You can count in this world today right now that if you hear something on the news that you might as well just assume it's a complete opposite. It is a complete opposite. He's going to twist everything. So what keeps us quiet? Religion says keep quiet. Churches will say, no. They get around any type of zeal or those who have been touched by the power of God. It makes them nervous. They're happy just to live in their intellect. They're happy to live in their own world. Anything contrary to that, anything that's zealous, they'll say, they get nervous around it. Let me ask you, are you nervous around zeal? Are you nervous around excitement? Are you nervous around those who love Jesus that want to make his name known? Are you nervous around those that want to declare the truth about this nation and what he stands for? Amen? Our God-given rights in this nation, are you nervous when people start declaring that? You say, no, don't say anything. We know that this is the end of time, so it's just going to happen. That's what got us in this mess, amen? We need people that are zealous today. Zealous. Discouragement says, keep quiet. Discouragement will keep you quiet. Don't allow the enemy to keep you in discouragement. Start declaring the word of God. Even if you're discouraged and you don't say anything for a day or two, or you're struggling, don't give up. Don't give up. You might have had a bad day, but the next morning, just declare his goodness. Declare his goodness. Don't let discouragement keep you from being zealous. Don't let discouragement keep you from being zealous of the Lord. Declare his word. Declare his works. Bless those around you in the name of Jesus. If you got a wife, bless your wife. If you got a husband, bless your husband. If you got children, bless them. Let that blessing come out of your mouth. Bless and curse not. Bless and curse not. Discouragement says, you got to be quiet. Sickness says, keep quiet. Sickness says, get you discouraged. If you're struggling with sickness right now, this is the time that you need to lift your voice more than ever and say, Lord Jesus, I believe in your healing power. I think of the blind man that was yelling. He was very zealous. Jesus of Nazareth, have mercy upon me. What were they telling him around him? You're too zealous. You need to pipe down. Yeah, but they weren't blind. They weren't the ones that needed a miracle. What does the Bible say that he did? He yelled all the louder. He says, You think you can keep me quiet? I'm going to raise my voice another octave. Jesus said, hey, bring that boy to me. Amen? Or how about the woman with the issue of blood, as she's pressing. She wouldn't give up. Pressing to touch the hem of his garment. Was she zealous? Father, may today we may be zealous for our fellow citizens in the United States, that those that would come to the gospel, as we're opposing those with truth that are simply contrary, that'll never, we don't know who those people are though. They thought Apostle Paul was that person who was opposing the gospel more than anybody at the beginning of the church age, Paul. We thank you again, Lord, as we've prayed many times during pre-service prayer, which starts at 9:15, by the way. Goes for about 20 minutes. What a powerful time. We've been praying, Lord, thank you for the Apostle Pauls that you're raising up out of this nation right now. Those that are known that have vehemently opposed the gospel and truth, Lord, that they'll be saved. And all of a sudden, what is this? This guy is now standing up for what he previously opposed. God, we thank you that you're doing that in this hour and this day. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're bringing the discouraged, Father, those who were even raised in church. I was talking with a brother this morning. I know that this is a day and hour that there's many people who love the Lord that are disconnected from a body, that are discouraged, that God's calling them back. I believe this is an hour God is calling back the discouraged believers in Jesus' name. I know that to be the fact. My spirit tells me. I hear others say it. Those that have given up, those who said, I've tried over and over and over again. You don't know my past. You don't know what's happened to me. And Jesus said, I forgive you. Come. Come, all you that are weary and heavy laden, to learn of his love. God is calling back those that have given up. Matter of fact, I think God is calling those back now to place in his body with purpose for the last great harvest. To have a harvest, we got to have laborers in the field in Jesus' name. I say to have a harvest, we got to have laborers in the field. God is bringing people in. You know, when you live decade after decade just in discouragement, all of a sudden the lights turn on. God's love for you, man, you'll be zealous. You think of King David after a battle and he's dancing. They say he didn't even have any underpants on, maybe. I don't know. But he's twirling. He's twirling. The religious are looking at him and despising it. His own wife, the daughter of Saul, saw him dancing and despised it. He despised his zeal for God. There'll be those who are going to despise the zeal of God, but it's going to be others that's going to attract like a moth to a flame. Just the way it is. It's not something that you make up. It's just, or in your heart, you're saying, Lord, I realize that your spirit is bringing zeal back into the house of God. A zeal for your body. A zeal for this nation. A zeal for truth. Amen. How about you? Amen. Amen. We want to make sure that we're zealous for the truth. Romans 10, 1 through 4 says, brothers and sisters, this is Paul talking about Israel. Brothers and sisters, my heart's desire and my prayer to God for them is for their salvation. For I testify about them that they have a zeal for God, but not in accordance with knowledge. For not knowing about God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own, they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. I just pray that in this day, in this age, this day, in this hour, that his church would be zealous, but zealous for truth. That we're walking in his love. That we're walking in his forgiveness. That we're not allowing ourselves to be carried away by anger. It'd be easy. Yes, be angry for what we're seeing, but let it be rooted and grounded in his love. Amen? Let it be rooted and grounded in his love. There are going to be those that will oppose us, and there are going to be others that are going to come to the cross. They're going to give their lives to Jesus Christ. I love what I saw Mario Murillo doing an outdoor meeting, and he was just speaking the truth. He was saying Chinese flu. He was saying Marxism. He was saying all these things of truth, but still yet people are streaming to come forward to receive Christ Jesus and to recommit their lives to Christ. Didn't whitewash it. He didn't water it down. He spoke the truth of what this nation was facing right now. And he also spoke the truth of Jesus Christ and his saving power, and people were getting saved by the hordes. People were being healed. See, Jesus' power dwells in truth. In him there is all light. There's no shifting shadows, it says in James. He dwells in complete truth. This is what changes yours and my life, is the truth of the gospel. His truth for you and I is what changes our lives. As we sit in services like this and God continues to reveal truth to us, it's what changes us. It's changed me more than any prayer. Someone just praying for me. Knowing the truth is what changed me. You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Amen. Anybody here love truth? Amen. Romans 10, 14 and 15. Thing that we have to make sure we remember in the church today. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? How will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. Brothers and sisters, as we wrap this up today, the thing I want to end up is this: we still have the good news. We still have the good news. We still have the gospel of Jesus Christ that changes an individual's life and heart. We still have the gospel that still brings healing to the sick. It still sets free people from demonic powers. We still have the good news that sets people free from addiction in Jesus' name. We still have the good news that sets people free from discouragement and oppression and depression in Jesus' name. So as we stand up for this country, the thing is that we got to still realize that we're bearers of the good news of Jesus Christ. The only thing that'll change this nation is the good news. Aren't you glad that you're walking in the good news? As the worship team comes up, as we are, it says to be angry but not sin. As we're angry at the things that we're seeing in this nation, as we're standing up for truth, as we need people to be zealous, to stand up for the truth. Something just that Paul says, he told Timothy, he said, you fan the flame of the gift of God that's in you. He says, you fan that. Hearing the word today fans that flame. When you say, Lord, I don't care what's going on, I'm declaring the truth, your love over my life. I'm declaring life over my relationships. When I'm declaring life over my church, please declare life over your pastor. Amen. I need that. It's important. It has to be that way. We have to stand together, walk together. The gospel of Jesus Christ is still what's going to change this nation. Am I going to stand up? There's going to be people that say, I believe in the truth. I'm going to run for Congress. Or I'm going to be involved in wherever you work in declaring the truth. Where those that are in business, in schools, are going to be zealous to stand for the truth. There are going to be those that are going to be mocked and laughed at, but that's okay. They're going to still stand up. And people are going to notice. Amen? The truth is going to land on the hearts that is God's drawing. But if we don't stand up and declare the truth, if we don't have that zeal, they won't hear it. If we're just a drumbeat that doesn't have the gospel of Jesus Christ in it, it won't do any good, even if there's aspects of truth in it. I would say if you get a chance, Liberty and Truth, listen to that at night. A mixture of God's power, God's kingdom, with you and I standing up for this nation, our rights. Amen. I was watching something on Twitter where it was showing that Kellogg's came up with this thing where they had this cereal box. And it says, we're together. But it was for LGBTQ and transgender. And on the side of it, it says the, you know, pronouns him, her, that. And then it had an area that says, now write your what you have for pronouns. Well, there's only so many pronouns, amen? There's he's and she's, amen? Him and her. In the beginning, it says in Genesis 3 that he made man and woman. So my point is, you see these things in indoctrination. Be aware of what you see coming at you. Be willing to trumpet the truth. God's power and spirit still dwell in the truth. Can we stand up together? Father, we thank you for zeal in your house. Amen. We thank you for zeal in your house. Standing up for the truth. Amen. People coming to Jesus Christ in this day and hour. People that have been indoctrinating, coming out of a lie into the truth, standing up for the truth in this nation. Is it too late in this nation? I don't think it is. Reading story after story, I had in my notes regarding. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Forgive me. I have one more thing I wanted to read. Amen. What happened is I didn't put it in my notes. In John 2, I have that, Bill. I just want to read this real quick. John 2, 13 and 19 is about Jesus. The Passover. So this is Jesus' first Passover when he came into his ministry. So John 2, 13 through 19, I'll just read it. It said, the Passover of the Jews was near. And Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and within the temple grounds he found those who were selling oxen, sheep, and doves, and the money changers seated at their tables. And he made a whip of cords and drove them all out of the temple area with the sheep and the oxen. And he poured out the money on the money the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. And to those who were selling the doves, he said, take these things away from here. Stop making my Father's house a place of business. His disciples remembered this, that it was written, zeal for your house will consume me. Amen. The Jews then said to him, what sign do you show us as your authority for doing these things? Jesus answered them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Amen. His zeal. Amen. I'm not saying you go somewhere and just start tearing tables down or whatever. I'm just saying that the zeal of God in Jesus, the Son of God, he had a zeal for his house. The house dwells in you and I now, amen. The Spirit of God. We have a zeal given from us for a purpose in this day and age, amen. Father, we thank you for zeal in your house. The different purposes, Father God, standing up for truth, God, not being ashamed of this day and this hour. We thank you for that, God. A zeal to see people delivered. A zeal to see people set free. A zeal to see people healed in Jesus' name. Lord, a zeal for seeing people come out of darkness into your marvelous light. The Father, we thank you for that today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to sing this song. We're going to have some people up here you can pray with. If you need prayer or somebody to just join with you and agree with you in anything, would you come up here? Anything that you need agreement with. If you're here and you haven't accepted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, and you'd like someone to pray with you, I'd like you to come up and see me. How he loves you. Once again, God's zeal in our lives will change everything around us. It looks different for everybody. When you think of zeal, if you just think of Pastor Lee, you'll get off track. Pastor Lee zealous, but we're not all wired like Pastor Lee. But God has a zeal for you.
That's right.
A purpose for you.
Yes.
A place for you with a passion.
Amen.
Do you believe that today?
Yes.
Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for that the zeal of God has consumed us and is consuming us. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said, amen.